new innovations don't just start at the university. They start on local farms and with individuals. And I think the endowed chair is just another one of the approaches that we need to keep to allow people that are interested in doing probably research, you know, on a topic that they are trying to dream of to work with. In agriculture, there's always new innovations. And I think that was a terrible mistake to say that we've kind of arrived, but we haven't.
Yeah.
We never will.
Welcome to the 398th installment of Ear to the Ground, the Land Stewardship Project's podcast on family farming, regenerative agriculture, community food systems, and local democracy. I'm Brian DeVore, editor of the Land Stewardship Letter. When the Land Stewardship Project and other members of the Sustainers Coalition launched the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture in the early 1990s, our goal was to provide a way for farmers and other members of the public to influence what kind of research and outreach takes place at their land-grant university. The thinking then was that the University of Minnesota, like many public agricultural institutions across the country, had become too narrowly focused on doing the kind of science and education that supported an industrialized form of farming that was emptying our rural communities of people while harming the land and water. As public funding continues to dwindle, large corporations are increasingly providing money for university laboratories, test plots, researcher salaries, and other land-grant infrastructure, providing them outsized influence on the future of agriculture. Over the years, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, also known as MISA, has produced an array of publications on sustainable agriculture topics, fostered student programs in sustainable agriculture, supported the Alternative Swine Program, and provided support for the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. That latter entity works across the state to support community-driven projects in agriculture and food systems, clean energy, natural resources, and resilient communities. MISA has also been closely aligned with the growth of the Forever Green Initiative, which was started in 2012 by the late Don Wise, a plant scientist who was MISA's first director. Forever Green has become nationally known for conducting cutting-edge research on cropping systems that depart from the corn-soybean dual culture. Research into Kernza, the world's first commercially viable perennial grain, is one area Forever Green has led on. MISA and its work to get more continuous living cover on the landscape also served as the foundation for Greenlands Blue Waters, an initiative launched in 2004 by various land-grant institutions, along with environmental and agricultural organizations such as LSP. One initiative MISA has been involved in has done an exemplary job of pumping fresh, regenerative ideas into the land-grant ecosystem. Since 1995, the Endowed Chair in Agricultural Systems has supported placing farmers, scientists, and others in a rotating research and outreach position at the U of M. During their time serving as the Endowed Chair, individuals have an opportunity to study and develop resources related to a more sustainable approach to agriculture. It's a way to gain access to a public institution that can, ironically, seem at times not so welcoming to members of the public. Scanning the descriptions of dozens of current and past endowed chairs provides an expansive view of the development of sustainable agriculture in Minnesota during the past three decades. Everything from alternative livestock production and marketing of new crops to climate change, soil health, and community development have been worked on by endowed chairs. The seeds of the Midwest Farmers of Color Collective were germinated while Sophia Benrud and Zoe Holloman occupied the chair, and numerous land access initiatives have received a boost as a result of this program. Two former executive directors of LSP, Ron Cruz and George Booty, have served as endowed chairs. Current endowed chair projects include supporting a localized meat processing infrastructure, developing a specialty grains hub, and helping tell the story of how farmers and other community members have spent the past 35 years pushing the U of M to fulfill its land-grant mission. Entities like MISA and the Endowed Chair are needed now more than ever, as Midwestern farming grapples with market consolidation, stress and other mental health challenges, climate change, creating a more resilient food system, and providing opportunities for emerging farmers. That's why it was so disheartening when the Dean of the University of Minnesota's College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences announced last year that he was discontinuing funding for MISA. Just as troubling, the Dean, Brian Burr, proposed disbanding the endowed chair and distributing its funding elsewhere within the university. It should be noted that financial resources for the endowed chair were initially jump-started by the Minnesota legislature, and over the years, donors, many of them alumni of the School of Agriculture, have helped build its funding up to roughly $3 million. That money is used to support people during the time they serve in the endowed chair position. These farmers and others often don't have the financial backing of a big institution or corporation, so the endowed chair's financial support can be critical. In recent months, a group of community members calling itself Friends of MISA has been working hard to save both the institute and the endowed chair and keep them part of the University of Minnesota. As this podcast was being recorded, discussions between the citizens group and university officials were still ongoing, and the fate of both MISA and the endowed chair was up in the air. After a recent conversation with Marvin Johnson, I'm more troubled than ever that public gems like MISA and the Endowed Chair in Agricultural Systems could possibly be eliminated with a stroke of an administrator's pen. Marvin is the president of the Alumni Association for the School of Agriculture at the University of Minnesota. In 1888, the School of Agriculture was established on the St. Paul campus to provide rural Minnesotans a post-high school education. Besides providing basic college classes, the school also gave students training in community leadership. Before it closed in 1960, the school graduated several notable leaders in agriculture, including several lawmakers. The late Bob Berglund, who was the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture from 1977 to 1981, was a School of Agriculture alum. Marvin, who graduated from the school in 1955, also went on to become a leader in his community and in agriculture in general. After serving in the military, he returned to his family's farm near Independence, west of the Twin Cities, where he raised livestock and crops. He's now 90 and still lives in the house he was born in. Over the decades, he's served numerous leadership roles in his community and the state. In fact, he just recently retired as the mayor of Independence, a position he held for 45 years. Marvin has also served an important role in the partnership that formed between MISA and the Endowed Chair. As he explained to me, the Endowed Chair was created by the School of Agriculture Alumni Association as a way to continue the school's legacy as a seedbed for innovative ideas and agricultural leadership in Minnesota. Making it a rotating chair was a strategic decision. That way, fresh ideas were constantly being discussed and researched, allowing the initiative to remain relevant in the ever-changing world of agriculture. Marvin says MISA has served as a critical partner in managing the Endowed Chair program, and he's enjoyed working with both the late Don Wise and the current MISA director, Helene Murray. As a farmer, community leader, and big believer in the land-grant mission, Marvin is adamant in his assertion that the U of M should stay true to the intentions of the Endowed Chair's founders and donors, that the money should be used to support a rotating group of innovators, many of whom are from outside the university system. He also would like to see MISA continue as a partner of the Endowed Chair initiative. I met with Marvin at the Independence City Hall, where we discussed how the Endowed Chair has served such a crucial role in developing Minnesota's sustainable agriculture community, and how programs like it can help universities adhere to the land-grant mission to serve the public. Marvin started our conversation describing the School of Agriculture itself and how his experience as a student there helped shape his life.
It was a post-secondary. It was our pre-vocational schools that we have around the state now. I don't know, they must have had a curriculum of classes that you could take from it, but they were the regular college classes. But one of the emphasis that Dr. Christensen and Dr. Miller, Ralph Miller, pushed was for agriculture leadership. What they wanted was people to go to the School of Agriculture, go back to their home farms, and become leaders in the community. That was kind of one of the mission statements that I would say we probably didn't call a mission statement then. But so they taught a lot on leadership. We learned parliamentary procedure. That was kind of a must when you were at ag school. Mm-hmm. And then they had organizations like Toastmasters Club and so forth. But you literally had the same instructors that were teaching in the College of Agriculture. So there was choices there, and you could kind of emphasize animal agriculture or other programs. And I kind of took a general agriculture kind of background. In fact, I even took a class of shorthand at the school because I had taken shorthand in high school because I knew I was going to be drafted into the military. And so I wanted to kind of a refresher course from high school. And so I took that. So you pretty much had an opportunity to take any kind of class that you wanted to on the St. Paul campus. I don't know of anybody that went to Minneapolis campus, mm-hmm. but the course included in the school was a nursing program. So, and that was to establish nurses for, encourage nurses to go into rural hospitals and work in the rural area. And so that's where many of the women that were at School of Ag were part of that program.
Well, that course instruction in leadership really took with you, because I know you besides being president of the Alumni Association, you, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you were until recently the mayor of Independence for, was it 40 years?
45.
45.
I was 45 years, supposedly the longest serving mayor ever in Minnesota. It wasn't intended. I never dreamed of being in politics in the first place, but it just, everything kind of seemed to fall in my lap. And when I was first appointed to the council, I hadn't even been attending council meetings, and a guy resigned. They voted me in without even asking me if I would serve, and I was called the next morning, and I had to say yes or no, and the clerk treasurer twisted my arm, and I said yes, and that was the beginning of a long tenure in government.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, they must have seen something there that they really liked, and I think, I understand maybe you got that call when you were in the milking parlor or something.
I was milking about 7 o'clock in the morning, and we had a phone in the barn, and I was living, my dad had passed away. I was living with my mother, and I knew she would have been asleep at that time, and I quick ran for the phone. I thought, who's calling at 7 o'clock in the morning? And that was it. And he told me, he said, I want to swear you in this morning. And I says, I've got to think about this. Well, he let me think about 5 minutes, and and I said yes. And so he came at 7:45 and swore me in the milk house. So
when they call that early, it's either good news or bad news. And I think for the city of Independence, it sounds like it was good news. So congratulations on that. That's really impressive. And talking about leadership, I know the School of Agriculture, a lot of alum went into leadership.
Yes.
Yeah, there were, I think, secretaries of agriculture that came out of that.
Yes, I don't know how many, but we had Mr. Berglund, who was
Bob Berglund,
who was American, secretary of agriculture, and then I know there was a Byron Clark that early on that was a Minnesota secretary of agriculture, and then of course there was several people that had been in the legislature that, we had School of Agriculture ties, and I don't know how many, or I'm still a director of a farm mutual insurance company. At one time when we had state conventions, there was five of us who were School of Ag alumni that were mutual directors across Minnesota. So when we had a statewide meeting, we had kind of a school reunion at the same time.
That's cool. You know, the other thing that struck me was you got to meet, you were probably a little bit isolated on the farm here, and you got to meet farm kids from all over the state through that, so, which I think would add to the experience a little bit. So speaking of legacy, can you recall when, so the School of Agriculture, I think it ran for about, gosh, it was over 70 years, might have been 72 years, something like that. And then you got involved with the Alumni Association, and it sounds like you and some of the other alumni really were committed to seeing that legacy. That it had been such a benefit to your life, and you'd seen how it benefited kind of the agricultural community and even policy and leadership in government circles, that kind of thing. So it sounds like you really wanted to see, even though the School of Agriculture wasn't in existence anymore, you wanted to see the legacy continue somehow. And what you came up with was this endowed chair. And I was wondering if you could talk about what was some of the original thinking that went into that. What made you think of this of this idea of an endowed chair? Why would that, was that a good way to continue that legacy, I guess?
I don't know if I can answer that very good, but I think part of it was in our discussion of realizing, you know, that we were short, life of the organization wasn't going to go on forever. But we had Dr. Jerry McKay, who was with the University of Minnesota, that was one of our alumni as well, and Dr. Gertrude Esteros, who worked actually in the kind of the home ec section that had also graduated from the School of Ag, and they, both of them, went to it as a high school, as a, you know, started as a very young person. But they were on our board of directors for the School of Ag Alumni Association. And I would guess that in, because of many of our discussions, realizing that we were, you know, not adding membership to it and so forth, somehow or another, they may have set the tone to begin with, to talk to somebody about something like the endowed chair. Because I really don't know when it approached, in my memory, when it approached us as elected directors critiquing the thought, the concept had already kind of been put together. Mm-hmm. And then we were asked, what do we think, you know, about this kind of stuff? And we all, you know, just kind of agreed that this is a wonderful thing, but we wanted it to be something that was just kind of alive and moving all the time, and we didn't want one person to sit in the endowed chair. We wanted a variety of ideas, and so we kind of worked with the Don Wise was already approached, mm-hmm. and so we kind of worked with Don Wise at that time.
And Don was just for folks who might not be familiar. He was. Would have been the director of the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture at the time, of MISA.
And then Sue Shepherd, I think, was probably one of his employees. Mm-hmm. So in just kind of sitting down and brainstorming, and then the legislature had to act, I think, on what was put together. And I don't recall of doing any work with the legislators at the time, but just knowing that it was in the process and being approved.
How was it funded? Was it funded? Was there some legislative money and then also money from the Alumni Association, or how did that work?
Well, I don't know the exact dollar amount. I think it was $75,000 or something to start out with that the legislature put into the fund to get it started. Yeah. And that's why it's so concerning, because we realized that this was established through the legislature, money designated for on behalf of the School of Ag, that it's important to keep it. And then every time we had a school reunion, we emphasized for people, you know, this is our legacy. If you'd like to make a donation. And so that's how money kept flowing into it. You know, I'm not sure, you know, how many and how many people donated, but or how big a donations from individuals. But it was understood that it was going to be a legacy, and only the interest from the money that was donated could be used for the for a person sitting on the bench.
I wanted to go back a little bit to this original idea of a rotating chair. And so people who may be familiar with endowed chairs at universities, it's often you put, say, a professor into that endowed chair, and they're there for years and years and years, and it's named after a corporation or whoever funded it, that type of thing. This is a little different, and I was going through, before this interview, the long list. It's a couple dozen or several dozen, I think it's over 40, people who have served in the endowed chair over the years, and it varies. Some are just for a couple years. Some are maybe more like 3 years or more. But it's this idea that I guess what struck me was the diversity of projects that were involved. Mm-hmm. Everything from meat processing, kind of setting up local meat processing, to organic marketing, to emerging farmers, land access. I mean,
community development.
Yeah. Yes, which is a very much part of the legacy of the School of Agriculture. That was such a big part of that. That must have been, I think that was genius on your part to make this into a rotating chair so that it could pivot and kind of respond to what's happening in agriculture at any given moment and kind of get fresh ideas in there and say, oh, we're dealing with a shortage of local meat processing, for example. Let's get somebody in there who can look at this in the short term, what can be some things, rather than, somebody who's got an interest in something and is doing it for decades and isn't able to pivot. That must have been conscious of something that you really thought about.
I don't know why, if that's just surfaced right off of the bat. We thought about that. We didn't want the one person sitting in the chair. But, when you think of agriculture, how it's changed from the time that I was in school to what's happening today. I've got a nephew that farms, my sister's farm down in Iowa. And who would have ever dreamed that you could put collars on cows now and use it for rotating pastures on a daily basis? I mean, something like that it's intriguing, and yet it's time-saving and efficient. And those things would have got to be taught along the way somehow or another. And I think this is what is in our background when all of us, that we knew new ideas were going to keep surfacing all the time. And of course, we know that our communities have changed tremendously too. So, and even with organizations, mergers that we've seen along the way and the leadership there. So it just made sense to, wanted different people there.
Well, you mentioned communities changing. You've seen your community of Independence change. I'm sure it's grown quite a bit in the 45 years you were even mayor.
And you get further out, and it's gone the other direction, which is kind of sad to see. But things, as a result of that, things change too, and leadership organizations have to adapt to the changing climate. And I think it's intriguing to know that we've covered so many different areas of studies through the endowed chair, and they haven't all been Minnesota people either, that have applied for the job. So we've probably influenced thought, throughout the United States because of the people we've had there.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. I mean, I've seen that research being used nationally.
Okay.
So that was a brilliant a brilliant way to approach that. And it's, to me, a good combination of you're continuing the legacy of the School of Ag, but you're also being able to be innovative and respond to the changes in agriculture.
I don't know, how much they emphasize to the people who are involved and how much they say, you know, what who they're representing. They may not, you know, they've got a, if it's a new person, they may not have the foggiest idea of what the School of Ag meant, but I'm sure that that Helene and Don, the ones that have been involved, say this is your background, mm-hmm. and don't be afraid to share that as you're trying to share what you're studying for or emphasizing.
So from the beginning, like you said, you had talked to Don Wise, and so and he welcomed having that part of MISA, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture. How important has that partnership been over the years?
They've actually done the hard work, because they've advertised for the program, done the read the applications, done the interviews. I think they've probably helped the people who are in the chair steer what they're doing. I think it's been vital, mm-hmm. to have somebody that understands what the original purpose was, and then to work very closely with the people who are selected to, and of course they're doing the selection of the people now. Mm-hmm. It used to be the board of directors with other people, like land stewardship that used to select the people, but I think MISA staff has pretty well followed through on it and done a good job now, and it's probably made it a little bit more streamlined. And then at the same time, you know, we still are providing the money for these people to do this extra work.
It's fitting that maybe MISA and the endowed chair have been, that this is part of the endowed chair is part of MISA, and that it's been this partnership over the years, because the Land Stewardship Project was a member of the original Sustainers Coalition that helped founded MISA. And the goal there at the time, and it continues to be the goal of MISA, is this is a kind of an entryway for farmers who are doing something a little different, maybe doing sustainable ag or regenerative ag, whatever you want to call it, to kind of get a foot in the door at the university and get some of their research priorities looked at and outreach priorities looked at through extension, where they might not have that entryway otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really fitting that the endowed chair, that endowed chair has been kind of another way to open that door, yeah. a little bit of a crack a little further.
Yeah. No question about that. And I'm sure these people have been available for answering questions, mm-hmm. long after they've been in the chair too, which is important, that history stays put and people can do the research.
I just recently was looking at the background information on the endowed chair, and one of the things that really struck me was mission statement for the endowed chair, and I'm going to read this to you. So it says, its vision for sustainable agriculture is threefold: a healthy environment, profitable farms, and thriving communities. That, I mean, how do you feel about that over the years since that thing got started? It's been 3 decades, I think.
Yeah, at least.
And looking at the list of all the different folks that have done the different things, is it kind of fulfilled that mission as far as you can tell?
I think it's done it well. I'm glad that we're kind of still using some terms that are very common today. I mean, you hear about thriving communities all the time, and that's part of a community's, like my end, a community changing, increasing in population, and others going the other direction. We all want to be thriving, but it's different things that are happening in the process. So, no, I think that mission statement was well thought out at that time. Yeah. I'm proud of it.
It's great when a mission statement's still relevant, yeah, 30 years after it was created, because that doesn't always happen.
Yeah. What was the words that we were thinking of at that time?
Yeah. Well, it's obvious you were thinking of your background as a farmer, yeah. as a community leader, with being the mayor here, and then also just seeing what the School of Ag, how it could develop leadership, and that type of thing.
Yeah, right, and then of course we started out with some basic agriculture things where one of our first one was growing, you know, pigs with Carmen Finholz,
oh, yeah.
You know, as one of the early chairs on it, and his approach to farrowing and that kind of stuff. So, things vary over the years.
Yeah,
it's funny to look at that list. It is kind of a who's who. Yeah, it's Carmen Finholz, Jim Vanderpool, George Booty, Ron Gruz. It's kind of a who's who of kind of innovative, sustainable ideas. I think what's exciting about the endowed chair and some of the work MISA has done is there's a lot of questions these days around whether land-grant universities are fulfilling, speaking of mission, kind of fulfilling their overall mission of serving the people and kind of doing research and outreach that's for the public good. And it's a big debate right now, especially as maybe we see bigger ag corporations kind of step in there and, maybe control a little bit what is researched and what is being developed at these universities. This is still, I think, a really good, it's kind of this hidden gem a little bit of this is an entryway. Like, again, I hate to keep using the same analogy, but getting a foot in the door for the folks who can say, hey, what about research and outreach that really helps, supports us and helps you be true to your land-grant mission?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't know how else you would do it, because if a person's got a major idea that they want to get emphasized, I mean, a private corporation generally isn't going to open the door and say, you know, unless you've done well or bring a pocket full of money or something, that they're going to let you in and be part of their company. So, you know, I think the university or some organization has still got to be out there so that people can speak up somehow or another.
Yeah, I mean, the example I think of is, let's say JBS, the biggest meat packer in the world, I don't think they're going to fund research on how to set up local meat processing.
No, I don't. And and for local farmers to be doing it anymore, that's kind of a thing of the past. Right. I personally wouldn't know where to start, and yet I know that was done in the home years ago, before my time.
Yes. There's been kind of some bad news, or some kind of the downside to some of these issues right now, and talking about the land-grant mission and all of that. There, in the last year or so, there has been talk by the ag dean, the current dean of the agriculture school there at the University of Minnesota, Brian Burr, to basically do away with MISA and then take the endowed chair money and kind of distribute it out through the rest of the ag college and really, for all intents and purposes, not having an endowed chair anymore. So there's a group of folks, friends of MISA and some other folks who have been involved, and former people who've been in that position too have been in contact with the dean and with other officials at the university and have written letters and are kind of working against that and trying to find maybe an alternative home even for the endowed chair and for MISA, that type of thing. But what did you think when you first heard that after all these years and all these great projects that's been accomplished through the endowed chair, that it just might be kind of thrown away and any money that was there being absorbed kind of into the bigger university community?
I was upset. I think I first heard about it when Lean Murray sent an email out saying what was possibly going to happen. And I called her, you know, her up immediately to say, and I said, they can't do this. This has been established by the legislature. You don't just up and take something that's been designated. And I said, my personal feeling right off of the bat was, all these people have given money over the years with the intent that this is a legacy of the School of Agriculture, and that money has got to be, that money is the money that was given intended to draw the interest for the endowed chair. That's got to be taken very seriously and kept as in the one pot and still establish something, maybe something different, but we can't just take the money for something else. My hair is kind of stunning in right to begin with. I just didn't think that was right at all.
I know that one of the arguments that the officials at the Ag School, particularly, I guess, the dean, has made is that, well, the original goal was to get more sustainable activity within the university and to get more research related to sustainable ag. And their argument is, well, over the years, we have integrated sustainability into the ag school, and we are doing that kind of thing. So we don't need a separate entity to kind of promote that. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, my thought right there was, as I said earlier, new innovations don't just start at the university. They start on local farms and with individuals. And I think the endowed chair is just another one of the approaches that we need to keep to allow people that are interested in doing probably research, you know, on a topic that they are trying to dream of to work with. And so I don't think we've ever arrived. There's always going to be a continuous thing. There may be a slowdown for a period of time, but my youngest brother is an engineer, and he was just telling me about a new thing that he's making with his company now that is just mushroomed as far as the work that he's got to do in, and it's developing low springs that is used when they're running in your veins and so forth. It's hard to explain, yeah. But anyway, he's making this little springs that are used in establishing, putting in stents and all that kind of stuff. And in agriculture, there's always new innovations. And I think that was a terrible mistake to say that we've kind of arrived. But we haven't.
Yeah.
We never will.
It's a continuum. Yeah. Continuum. Yeah, I mean, it really is. That's the definition of sustainable ag. We're always working toward that.
Yeah.
And I like that idea that you brought up too. Of that kind of thinking is a little bit insular, and it thinks, well, all the new ideas are going to come within the university community. But
yeah.
It's that idea of letting in some new ideas, kind of through the door a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
the idea when it was first started, and the legislature first helped get it launched, and then it got, you know, you look at its mission statement, and kind of it was the mission statement's almost a promise to the people of Minnesota, mm-hmm. I feel like, and the agricultural community specifically. This idea that all of a sudden we're just going to end it seems to really kind of go against this idea that this was supposed to be something that was in perpetuity, that we were going to have this, so that there was always going to be this idea of, oh, I've got this idea, how can I kind of advance it and maybe get some support through the university? Well, there was always this that was going to be there, kind of thing. And this kind of seems to be, it's really going against this idea of this idea of permanence. And that's, to me, overall, and the land grant mission and research at these four-year universities, that's really what gives them strength, I think, is this idea that it's kind of always going to be there, and we can take some chances, do some research that, well, maybe it won't work out, but we can kind of be innovative and maybe be allowed to fail sometimes, but sometimes we succeed.
Well, either that or it doesn't mean that you have to spend all the money each year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as long as you've got the endowed chair fund, you can still add to it and use the interest, build up the interest until you've got good applicants, because I'm sure when the people are reviewing the applications for it, they're pretty careful as to not just give it out to somebody that is looking for a job or something, but something that really is of interest or a new approach or whatever. So no, I think it's important to keep that there. And like I said, we don't have to spend all the money each year.
So if some of the, this is an unfair question. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. If some of the university, the officials from the ag school were in this room right now, I mean, what would you say to them? What kind of a pitch would you give them, or what would you And I know you've been in communication through some of these letters folks have been sending out, but what would you say to them face-to-face about this?
About the what they're trying to do with the money?
Yes.
I'd say they're breaking the law. And I've talked to, in fact, we've got a former regent next that lives just close to me, and I visited with him. He says they can't do that, you know. And I mean, and that's the reaction I get: is that money that was designated for that? Yeah. They can't take it and use it for something else. So no, I mean, 100% of people say it's got to stay. You know, I've mentioned to George. I says I can see where. You know, we basically, none of the money that in the chair has been used for any administrative work. I can see where that change should happen because you can't expect somebody else to bear the costs of all the administration and that kind of stuff. So I can see changes there. But as far as changing it, as far as the principal, keeping the principal amount and using the interest, it still works the same way. Yeah. You can use a certain percentage of the interest for administration, but still use it for the endowed share.
Well, that seems super short-sighted. So $3 million, which is a lot of money,
yeah.
But it has really had outsized impacts.
Oh, yeah.
And to absorb that into the big university, the ag school.
In one year.
And it just won't have the same impact. I'm sorry. It just won't.
No way. Yeah, no. I was surprised when I took this matter as a resolution before the Farm Bureau, our farm organization, here, and started at the county and then was a delegate at the state convention. And here I was surprised that when somebody asked a question about it, somebody else popped up that I had no idea, but they said, this is not right. Mm-hmm. And this is they were laying out, you know, that this was designated for a certain item, a certain job, and that, so the resolution carried unanimously, so that we need to keep it.
Last night, I printed out the current endowed chairs, which there are three of them, and then all of the past endowed chairs. Sure. And when I printed it out, it's single space, and it's small type. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 pages, almost 13 pages, and I counted them up. There were 40. I think I'm probably missing a couple.
Sure.
But when you see them all in one place, and I'm going to go back to the variety of projects.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like everybody was looking at organics, organic cropping, or marketing. You know, it was a variety of things, and everything from kind of really hardcore research into a certain practice to more of the community-wide benefits.
Right.
Sociological, rural sociology is something a couple people have looked at. Marketing, which is so important. I mean, when LSP was over 40 years ago starting to promote sustainable ag practices, farmers came back to us and said, great, but we need to get paid for it.
Sure.
So it's so cool to see some of the economics being, economists being part of this and folks looking at this, both on the farm level. The other thing I really like is it's a combination of folks who are, like you said, researchers at the U, or, you know, they're on faculty at the U or other schools across the country. But also there is a fair number of farmers represented.
Yeah.
That, I think, is really important, and not just non-farmers who are interested in rural community development. When you consider that, I mean, it must be, you know, you maybe didn't quite know where this thing was going to go 30 years ago. It must be, you must be kind of proud, and it must be kind of cool.
Well, it is, and is what surprises me that there is enough interest from the fund that we can sometimes have three or four in a given year.
Mm.
Because early on, you know, we were kind of looking at, you know, one, maybe two people working in a given year and a different subject and so forth. And we did have, over the period of time, we have had several of these people come to our alumni reunion and actually share what they've done and could say thank you to the people who are graduates of the School of Ag. So there was a good rapport there from some of the early on representatives that participated.
You know what strikes me, Marvin, just talking to you and knowing about your background is you have seen a lot of changes in agriculture and in your community. And honestly, I've talked to folks who have been through the same situation you have and seen agriculture change over the decades. And they're a little bit, oh boy, I wish we could go back to the old days and really pining for what it was like and kind of have it, which is fine to think, I do that too, just even as a farm kid growing up. But they kind of get fixated on it'll never be as good as it was or it'll never be a positive thing. You seem to be a good combination of, hey, there was some good ideas that we were doing back in those days, and we can adopt them to as we go forward. And there's some innovations I haven't even thought of that are out there, and we just need to kind of create that petri dish or that kind of system to allow those innovations to that there is a future for agriculture, whatever it may be, but that it's a positive future kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I've seen a lot of changes. In fact, when we were growing up here, everybody was a dairy farmer in the local, well, in Hennepin County and the farms. And now there's probably only one or two dairy farms left in Hennepin County. And I kind of miss that community of comradeship, I guess it would be, of agriculture people in the area. But the communities, I don't know as I'd want to go back to where it was, but you just have to adapt with the situations.
For more on the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture and the Endowed Chair in Agricultural Systems, see the podcast page for Ear to the Ground episode 398 at landstewardshipproject.org. If you have comments or suggestions about this podcast, contact Brian DeVore at bdevore@landstewardshipproject.org, or you can call 612-816-9342. By the way, it helps us greatly if you can give Ear to the Ground a rating on whatever podcast platform you utilize. And word of mouth is the best way to spread the news about our podcast. If you like what you hear, tell at least one person about LSP's Ear to the Ground. Thanks to Laura Borgendale, Western Minnesota musician, for Ear to the Ground's theme music. And a special thank you to all of Land Stewardship Project's members who make initiatives such as this podcast possible. If you're not a member, visit landstewardshipproject.org to learn how you can support LSP. Thanks for listening.